And so he said, well, to be honest, my opinion's still the same. I'm just sorry about the way I voiced it. And I said, opinions are like assholes. I prefer to write about mine in the letters section of the Herald.
One day radio.
One day radio.
Perfect. Perfect. There you have it, the intro to the world famous One Day Radio podcast. My name is Joyride, joined by Raphael.
Hi, guys.
And Paddy, Big PC, the owner of,
the owner of your favourite pub. What I thought we could actually do is get PC to maybe explain a bit of your background, starting from, firstly, just in a sentence or two, what title you would give yourself, and then we might actually start at the beginning where it all began. But yeah, what would you call yourself?
Maybe we can all go around the circle saying the titles we give ourselves. You first, Paddy.
I think these days I would call myself an entrepreneur.
I was going to say that.
For you?
For both of us.
Okay.
No, I'm a creative.
Oh, yeah. White male creative.
Yeah, senior creative.
Yeah.
Senior.
Yeah. Regardless of what room I walk into, I'm the senior creative.
I fuck around.
No, come on, mate. What do you write when you go overseas? We've had this discussion.
I write entertainer.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, PC, entrepreneur, what industry?
Well, an entrepreneur by definition isn't defined by a particular industry.
All right, so where are the assets?
I'm mostly in the pub hospitality. Yes, the pub industry, I would say. Yeah.
Tell a story. First pub.
Yes, first pub I ever had.
Yeah, you've got plenty now, and that's why we've got you on the podcast, because we're a art entertainment industry. Podcast.
It's a peek behind the curtain.
Look under
the hood. BTS.
Obviously, we interview.
Thanks for having me too.
No,
it's great to have you here.
Great to have you here. But obviously, we interview musicians, we interview athletes, comedians, journalists, and a lot of the time, all of these things, all the times that we've met these people, have been in hospitality establishments, and many times in your particular ones. We would have met the Batuta Advocate guys probably. Many times in your establishments, we have caught up with Liz Cambridge, athlete Becky Lucas. We've many times hung out in your pubs.
Horror show.
So this is all about that aspect of things, the place and the person behind the places that you have these entertainment experiences. So first pub, let's get right into it. First pub.
My first pub I ever owned was the Four in Hand Hotel in Paddington.
Oh, nice.
A long time ago, yeah.
How old were you, if you don't
know? Mate, I was early 20s. Yeah, maybe like 23, 24.
And you just bought it?
It was a leasehold. I didn't buy the building. I had a leasehold. So in our business, it's you either have a leasehold or a freehold. So you're either renting the building or you own the building.
Well, then now I believe early on, the Glengarry, Redfern's famous Glengarry. Yes. When was that? What number was that? Number two?
It was number two, yeah.
Number two?
Yeah, Glengarry Castle Hotel at Redfern, 182 Lawson Street.
About what year are we talking?
That was in 2000.
Year 2000. So what was Redfern like in the year 2000? Especially like...
I'd tell you, one thing I do remember about that pub and that area, there was a great sense of community, you know? Mm-hmm. There was like everyone knew each other and... I find maybe sometimes in the rougher... edgier areas, you do have this sense of community because everyone tries to look out for each other, you know?
Mm. Is that something that you try and create? I'm assuming it is something you try and create in the venues that you have now, right?
Oh, yeah, in a different way, though. But, yeah, we definitely try.
Less heroin,
less heroin, unfortunately. No, but you guys know the way that we try and operate our venues. We try and create a sense of community and, you know, around things that we're into, you know. So creativity in all its many, you know, facets, we try and support that and, you know.
Going off in terms of like, you know, supporting creatives and the arts and stuff like that, you do a lot for local music, not just booking bands or having DJs, having events or whatever, but, you know, a patron of the arts.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
So you would have come across like, you know, creatives are, a lot of the time, dead shits. Who's the...
Present company accepted.
Yeah. We're right in the thick of it. You know yourself.
Yeah.
Who does anyone spring to mind in terms of, like, who's the biggest dead shit creative you've come across?
Like, and you're obviously a patron of the arts, both like literally visual arts, music, the works. What else is there? Are there any other types of art?
Comedy?
Yeah.
You have those bloody comedians banging around the Gladstone for ages like a bad smell.
That's true. There's heaps of comedians at your venues. We should, like, actually, while you have a think of that, me and Dixie will try and list a lot of the venues that you've at least had a hand in, and I'm sure we're going to miss a few. While you think about the biggest dead shit.
Should we go one for one?
Yeah, we'll go one for one. Okay. Vic on the Park.
Lady Hampshire.
Toxteth.
The Gladstone.
The Botany View Hotel.
Yeah, the Marley.
Kinsella's.
Yep.
Lo-fi back in the days.
Lo-fi. No, you're not in this.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry.
Shut your fucking mouth.
And then there's some...
Standard.
Elephant.
The Standard.
The Elephant in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, yep.
Stock Exchange Hotel in Brisbane.
Mudgee Hotel.
The Kelly's Irish Pub in Mudgee.
Yep,
a hot bit of creativity.
So a few venues that people know and love.
Yeah.
But anyway, biggest dead shit out of all of those venues that create biggest dead shit creative.
Oh, mate, I don't know. I wouldn't want to.
Who are bigger dead shits?
There's been a few, though. There's been a few. Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to name names.
No, that's fine. They won't listen
mate,
to
look, let me explain it this way. There's been times that we've supported people in whatever various creative pursuit that they're attempting to perform, and they're just fucking shit. <You know? laughs> And their heart's in the right place, and you sort of help them a bit, but then you want to say, mate, probably this is not for you, mate.
Have you ever told a creative that they should get out of the creative industries?
I probably hinted, but no. Yeah. I tell you, it probably mostly in art, like with artists. So we've done art galleries before. So and we've got Good Space, which is above the Gladstone now, and we had the Tate Gallery at the Toxteth, and we had Lo-Fi Collective, which was on the top floor at Kinsella's back in the old days.
Yeah.
And the Tate at the Toxteth was the one where it kind of just got, because it was close to the uni. There's a lot of artists who are at uni who are, I guess, deciding if they wanted to be an artist. And, quite a few artists who obviously had the, had the safety net of mum and dad's money. They weren't very good at uni doing an arts degree.
Did you ever feel like maybe you just didn't get their art?
No, I got it. It was just shit. A lot of fucking paintings of horses and stuff, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wild horses.
Yeah.
Lo-Fi Collective was unbelievable, unbelievable talent. The Tate at the Toxteth had a lot of unbelievable talent, but a bit of shit sprinkled in it. And... Good Space now at Glasson is like really good, like week to week, it's quality.
Okay, but a place like, take another example of one of your pubs, the Gladstone, which is now a Sydney institution almost. It's got itself to that stage in how 3 years? 2 years? 3 years?
Just under 3 years, yeah. Just under two and a half, yeah.
Pretty quick. That happened quickly. That happened in months. So very quickly, though, some of the things you changed were you raised the roof on the outside area so it felt a bit more open. Obviously added a bit of graph, tidied it up a little bit, changed the kitchen. I know that was a big move, like moved the kitchen from one spot to another and changed the menu. And I know there are of course other changes and other elements on the small things. But as a patron, those are probably the things that I would notice. And even then, I think a lot of patrons probably wouldn't even... things like the kitchen moving.
No, people don't notice that.
But why did it go from a place that really wasn't that popular to somewhere that was super popular so quickly? The changes weren't, like, we're not talking about, like...
Yeah, the aesthetics, there's two parts to it, right? So the changes to the aesthetics we made there weren't very big, right? Like, as you say, a lot of people probably wouldn't even notice. Now, we did a few little things, whatever. It's not even about that, mate. It's about the people. So... And you guys were a big part of that. So
there we go.
Yeah, finally. So. Finally. Question after question.
Jesus.
Finally, get the fucking credit we deserve.
Mate. Throw me a bone, mate.
No, so, sorry.
Thanks for coming anyway, mate.
So, I remember when I first bought that pub, I remember there was rooms upstairs on the top floor and there was one big room. And I remember, we were all mates by then. And I remember ringing Loopy and the great Nick Loopy.
You're going to have to say that about every single one
Nick
of
Loopy?
Your friends you mentioned now on this podcast.
The great man, Nick Loopy. He had told me that you guys were thinking about taking some office space somewhere. I think it was at the Vic. I think you guys were going to actually rent some office space at the Vic. I rang Loopy and I said, mate, don't do that. I'll give you office space for free at the Gladstone, the pub that I've just bought. I think I was about to buy it. And I said, mate, I'm about to buy a pub. There's a perfect office for you boys. I won't even charge you rent. Just come and I can do it. You know, come and have your office there. And he goes, okay, right. And then bought the pub. You guys moved in there. And that, you know, that was a really important part of the start of changing that pub, you know. So suddenly you got, you know, six or seven of the arguably, you know, the coolest. You know.
Yeah, come on. Yeah,
that's all right. We got time. Pretty big hard drive on this laptop, man. Let's see if you can fill it.
You got a cool, you know, I'd already decided that we're going to do a lot of graph there, and, you know, hip hop kind of goes hand in hand with graph, and having you guys just hanging out there was like a big part of it, you know. And then back in those days, you know, all the Sticky Fingers boys were all, you know, they were all mates of ours as well. They started hanging around there. You know, so suddenly you've got two, you know, crews who have got a huge extended, you know, network of friends and fans just there all the time, you know. And then also the art gallery upstairs was like the third part of that, right? So
I guess that's building that community that you're talking about.
Absolutely. So that art... You know, the art community is its own community, and having that gallery upstairs, you know, straight away, you know, and letting artists exhibit for free. So it's like this whole kind of, there's almost like this whole unspoken agreement, right? So I say to you guys, boys, have some office space. I'm not even going to charge it, you know? And I would never once think that I would have to even ask you to hang around there. It's like an unspoken agreement. It's like, oh, yeah, well, this is our mate. He's given us some free office space. Of course, we're going to hang around there and have a beer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then we started Good Friends, that Friday night thing, and you used to run that for the first kind of year.
He's talking about me, dear listener.
Oh, sorry, that's Don Joyride.
Yeah, I'm not
the great man.
Yeah.
No.
the great Rowan Dix.
No, I know what you mean. Well, it helps when the pub's actually pretty good. This has just turned into a big
Yeah,
no, that's a love fest.
Circle jerk. Yeah. That's all right.
No, exactly right.
No, that's right.
But the art thing is, you know, I'm all, you know, we've spoken a lot about tribes and the different tribes in Sydney. It always amazes me still I just assume that if you're into art, you're into music, but it's actually not the case.
Yeah, that's one thing.
I speak to so many artists and who exhibit at Gladdy and, you know, and just artists in general, and they're just like, oh, have you heard that new fucking...
The music taste is horrendous.
Artists. But I think it goes both ways. I think there's a lot of musicians who aren't really that into art either.
My art taste is impeccable.
Well, we've got art all around us. Helen Proctor right here.
She did a painting of the second pub you ever owned, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's a painting of the Glengarry.
Oh, it is too, yeah, yeah.
How much did that set you back? That looks like a good $2,500 or something.
I got mates rates. I got it for...
Fuck me, that DJ fees must be good these days.
I got it for 15, 18, I think.
You must be on the Nick Loopy DJ rates.
But I commissioned this piece, which you'll all be able to see, listeners, once my album comes out, because I commissioned this to be the front cover of my album.
Yeah, right.
This very painting, nice. So...
Yeah, actually, we should do a visual arts podcast. That's a good idea. Just talk about art.
Talk about art. And then we can...
Talking about art is like wanking about architecture.
Yeah, and then we could do a video of us masturbating over some Frank Gehry's.
And then we'll do like a wine show.
God, this has gone downhill.
One Day Radio.
Speaking of alcohol, though.
Yes.
Frank Strong's is the new venture.
Yeah. The new project.
Would you like to give an intro to that, and then we can critique it and fill it?
Frank Strong's is a craft brewed alcoholic lemonade brewed with premium Australian malts and is very refreshing.
Oh, it's super refreshing.
Tastes good.
It's going to be great for the summer. And we're all involved. That's the thing with it.
We're all involved. You guys are part owners with me in this venture.
Mm-hmm. So we sink. If it sinks, we sink.
Yeah. No, we're relying on you guys drinking this.
So you boys, the greater One Day crew, you know, a few other different crews from around town are all involved in it. And that, you know, like the Gladstone, it's all about, you know, music, art, creativity, culture. Yeah.
And business, you can try it. You can try it right now.
Try it right now. The Lord Gladstone, the Lady Hampshire or the Botany View Hotel, 597 King Street.
Yeah.
You love addresses, hey? 182 Lawson, 597 King.
61 Parramatta Road.
It's yeah, for those of you who may be taken aback at the description that Patty just gave of it, just fucking buy one and have a sip.
Give it a shot.
You won't look back, really.
Next time you're in Sydney, give it a shot. It'll be on taps all around the country soon, though, as soon as...
Only in cool places.
Yeah, only cool.
You can only manage that for so long.
Yeah, I know.
Aren't you giving it to the Lansdowne? I thought that.
Yeah, what happened to only cool places, mate? The fourth joint's the fucking Lansdowne. They got rack spoons for the fucking badge draw. Tone down, boys.
And the unicorn in Paddington, super cool.
What happened when the three of us went to the launch and they wouldn't let us in?
Yeah, you're giving them our fucking. You're giving them our premium alcoholic lemonade.
That's how cool we are. We couldn't even fucking get in there.
I didn't want to go in personally. It felt too hot. I hate when venues are hot.
No, we didn't try very hard. What's the next box to tick?
I definitely won't be corporate again. It'll be more of doing stuff that I just enjoy doing. So I find, in a weird way, these having the pubs, the type of pubs that I've got now, are a great creative outlet for myself, for my own personal creativity, which is different to your creativity. I'm not out there making music or making art, but I'm. There's creativity in business.
You're picking the carpet.
Sometimes. I know, you know. I'm picking the carpet. It's really creative. But New York is still a.
I was going to say you own part of a pub in New York or a bar, or I don't know what.
Yeah, it's called the Flower Shop. It's in the Lower East Side of New York, in Manhattan, and it's two. It's a restaurant on the first floor and a bar on the lower floor, and it's in partnership with some cool guys over there, and. It's just really good fun to have an investment there, you know. I go there a lot. And
Obama's daughter went there.
Obama's daughter hangs out there, even though she's underage.
Who's... Oh, okay. Well, no one... We don't have any international listeners.
We'll cut that out, maybe.
We'll cut that out.
She's been there twice.
For American audiences.
She's not underage. She's actually been there twice with all the Secret Service.
Really?
Yeah, it's a true story. So they book... In the restaurant, there's booths, and they book two booths, and the Secret Service take one booth, and she takes the other booth with her friends, and they just have dinner and a few drinks. And she's underage, but... Yeah, fuck it. What are we going to say? No,
it's Obama's daughter. I mean,
yeah.
What about if Barron Trump went? Would you
13-year-old Barron Trump?
Yeah, I'd fucking load him up with liquor. That's all right.
One day radio.
Now, a friend of mine was saying that she, for her work, had to get a futurist in.
Yeah, right.
To look at try and accurately predict the future.
Yeah.
And one of the things, there was a lot of things I was talking about. There's definitely going to be less cars. A lot of things are going to become, mechanic, all this kind of stuff.
Automated, excuse me.
And how do you think that will affect your industry in terms of will you just not be hiring staff and just be buying beer dispensing machines?
Yeah.
Who knows? Have you thought about it?
No, I haven't. Because I've got better fucking things to think about than that.
It's important,
man. In our industry, I think Australia has such a love affair with pubs that I think that will be, obviously technology will obviously change everything. It already is. But I think pubs will be a last bastion, I think.
Having a 3D printer in the corner that makes a schooner glass every time one smashes or something like that.
3D printers, what do you think of
3D printers in your pub?
I keep hearing about 3D printers, and all I can think about is it like a little fucking Xerox sitting like everyone's got next to their computer? Like, how are they going to suddenly be spitting out sneakers? Like, I don't understand that. So everyone calls them 3D printers, but they're really 3D manufacturing fucking machines, No one's buying a fucking printer and putting it at home to make their own shoes, all right? This is what everyone keeps trying to tell me.
Yet.
Or make their own schooner glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine those? Origin night.
You're going to have blue or maroon schooner glasses. I think
blue or maroon schooner glasses.
You should get into marketing.
Imagine being at this pub with a fucking maroon schooner glass. You'd have it smashed over your head.
No, you wouldn't. We love our Queenslanders. And there's no violence in any of Paddy's pubs.
Sorry, not
either.
This pub. Somewhere shit. What's the place across the road? HQ or whatever?
That's what it's called about 20 years ago. That was a real West Rugby hangout too, by the way.
Who used to DJ there?
No.
Didn't he play at your wedding?
No, DJ Axeman, who was also the first grade breakaway DJ'd at my wedding. Yeah, and then this is my first wedding to my ex-wife, and I remember she came up to me halfway through the night and said, almost in tears, going, "Can you go and speak to that fucking DJ friend of yours?" I said, "Well, what happened?" "He just told me to fuck off." I said, "Hang on, what?" She goes, "Yeah, listen to what he's playing." And he was playing Eminem. Like, it was when Eminem first hit the scene, And Eminem was a bit edgy, And I walked over to him. I said, "Axe, you can't tell the fucking bride to fuck off. And he goes, this is what I love. He cited creative control. he was a fucking Moby Disc DJ at best, you know, on a Saturday night for some extra coin. And he's doing my wedding, and he tells the bride to fuck off because creatively he wanted control over what he was playing.
You've told a few people to fuck off in your DJ time, Joyride.
I have.
When was the last time you told someone to fuck off?
Oh, well, I mean, last time was fucking last time I DJed.
Yeah, in Perth on the weekend. Yeah.
but there are some really big don't argues that I can remember.
But you know someone, is there a story you'd like to tell?
I was warming into it.
Sorry, I was thinking, I've got a big promo that I need to do. But oh, so okay. Let's hear the story first. And then
I'll be quick, guys. Stick around
we've got some promo coming up. So, but in the meantime, just bear with us.
We'll get to this.
We've got some content for you first.
Well, fuck, you've ruined the story now.
No, honestly, like when was there a big fuck off, no requests?
Man, this dude came up and he was like, standing in front of me over the deck. So one big thing with One Day Sundays that we try and maintain as much as possible is to have the DJ at the same level as the crowd.
Yep.
You know, not be like up on a fucking tower, yeah, we're doing this. It's just like, no, we're for the people, by the people.
It's egalitarian, man. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, that can cause some fucking headaches.
Yeah, I bet.
And this bloke came up and he was trying to shake my hand. I was in the middle of a mix, right? Fucking in the thick of it. And when you're in the thick of a mix, as Raph can attest,
in the pit.
Like when you're in the thick of it, you don't need anyone fucking with you. You don't like you got two fucking songs spinning either side. You got to, you know, bring one out, get your echo going, your fucking effects, all this shit. It's a very delicate and beautiful dance. You don't need anyone coming and going, "Oh, you fucking boo." Anyway, this guy came up going, "Oh, fucking boo." And I was like, "Mate, one sec, I'm doing something." And he was like holding his hand over the decks trying to shake my hand. I was like, "Bro." And I like hit his hand out of the way because I couldn't see what I was doing. And then he was like, "Ugh." And I leant forward and he grabbed me by the back of the neck trying to hug me. And so I just fucking like palmed him in the chest and gave him a bit of a spray.
Yeah.
And I thought it would ruin the vibe of the party. Because that level of aggression, you know, people don't want to see that. It did say it took 2 seconds. Everyone was like, "Oh, actually, yeah, that guy's a knob." And then just kept dancing and kind of fucked him off. But like I laid my hand on him.
Yeah. You laid, yeah.
You know? But mate, don't you think that I'm a big believer in letting people self-regulate, you know? Like,
would you consider that self-regulation?
Mob mentality.
Well, it was. Like that guy's a gronk. You pushed him out of the way and everyone that saw that could straight away tell that he was a fucking gronk and you were well within your rights to do that and everyone gets on with the night. Like,
totally.
You know what I mean? That's how, I don't know, I'm not a big, I just think we there's way too many seckers everywhere. And
well, see, you know? I'm also a big fan of calling the secker over and just being like, "Can you fuck that bloke off?" Because if I do it personally, that's one potential sale less of
my
fucking next album or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I personally abused him, or not abused him, but just said, told him some inconvenient truths.
Yeah. No, but you're dead, right? You'd much rather that than having, you know, what's more annoying is when you have security guards in front of the decks.
Yeah, exactly. Like multiple
security guards kind of blocking people from you. And or even worse, we threw a party in Melbourne at the Penny Black where we were slightly up on a stage, but the security guard would stand on the stage next to the DJ looking out. So the security guard's above the entire crowd, like staring at everyone dancing. That's just awkward.
Yeah, and it also made it impossible to fucking eat pills behind the desk because you got 2.5 dingers burning a hole in your pocket and you're just like, "I can't fucking get them out because this guy's like standing here just watching what I'm doing."
Would you say your recreational drug use is well documented?
Like, yes. Look, Patty, I'm a firm believer in speaking openly about the public, about safe drug consumption.
Yeah.
Because everyone's doing it. Not everyone, obviously, but everyone I fuck with doing it, and no one talks about it. And I think it's ridiculous because it's something that can be incredibly unsafe if you're not educated about it. The only way people will get educated is if more people talk openly about it, which then changes the mood that wider society has around recreational drug culture, and then we can get things moving. I'm a martyr, basically.
You're a martyr. You're piss Christ.
We get it, mate. We get it, mate. You don't drink.
PC.
But when I do, I drink Frank Strong's.
Yes.
It's the only thing he drinks. And
goes great with a couple dingers.
Oh, dear.
That's going to be the tagline.
Oh, dear.
They can't change the date of the Hottest 100, or they fucking might. Triple J is surging ahead with thinking about maybe changing the date of the world's largest music democracy, traditionally and arbitrarily celebrated on the same date that many Australians choose to celebrate the murder of its first people. One Day have put together an online survey about whether you should partake in Triple J's online survey about whether they should change the date of the Hottest 100. Head to our Facebook page and have your say about having your say, about having your say, about having your say, about having your say.
Yeah, and one place you'll be drinking Frank Strong's is at the One Day car park party.
Wait, is this the Spono?
Yeah, this is the Spono.
Oh, nice.
One Day car park party. It's going to be a huge party. If you're in Sydney, well, you obviously got to be there. Tickets are $25, and it's basically like the biggest One Day Sunday we've ever thrown. If you're not from Sydney, get on a plane. Actually, pro tip, Thursday, go to Virgin, the Virgin website, sign up for the happy hour email. Because on Thursdays, you get cheap flights all over the country. Get yourself on a flight to Sydney. One Day car park party, One Day car park carnival, where we're painting a truck.
Have we got a truck yet to paint?
We've got a couple of options, actually. Nick Luby just did the old Perso Facebook. Anyone got a truck they want painted?
Yeah.
And surprisingly, heaps of people have sent through trucks they want painted.
I bet they have. A couple of nicks on the door. You know, they were in a prank a couple of weeks ago. The other car came off worse, but it's just the paint on the back there.
Yeah. We've got some panel beaters, basically, coming along live, panel beating display, which would be fantastic. Grab your tickets, carnival.onedayers.net. Spono over.
Did you see that Chris Lilley thing that he did the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that we made him? You know, we do that No Gronks.
And people, there was a bit of pushback on the gram.
We did, just for the listeners, No Gronks, Lady Hampshire, every Friday night. For your listening pleasure.
It's a great party. It's a lot of fun.
And so we made him the Gronk of the week this week because of his racist clip that he re-released. Apparently he had already released it a long time ago, but re-released it. Timing wasn't very fucking good.
No.
And he turned up here last night.
Really?
Yeah, he turned up here for dinner. And
I didn't know that he
was... Well, I don't know.
In blackface?
We were at... That would have been a move.
What would you do if Chris Lilley walked in here in blackface? What would you do?
No, let's not go there. I actually want to know what he actually did.
Knock him out. Yeah. I'd just knock him out. That's it. Some actions are only worthy of that response.
Okay. Well, what did you do?
There is a time and a place for a fucking just an old school punch to the head. You know?
Yeah, that's one of them. Fair enough.
That's one of them.
What happened?
I was at the Gladstone with a bit of a crew, and the manager Matt here rang Benny. Benny was with me. He rang Benny, and Benny goes, "PC, Chris Lilley's at the fucking Lady Hampshire." And I said, "Is he there? Like trying to be smart? Like because he saw he was the Gronk and he turned up?" And he said, "Well, fuck, we don't know." And I said, "Well." So I kick him out. What the fuck? We've put him on as the Gronk. Kick him out. And so Matt went over to him and said, "Look, mate, I don't know if you know this, but you're the Gronk of this week." And he fucking reckons he didn't know. Huh? And then he says, "Well, mate, I've just ordered my dinner. Can I at least fucking..." So Matt then rings us back. We're at the Gladstone fucking blind. And I'm going, "Oh, fuck, right. I just fucking let him have his dinner." And so I let him have his dinner and then he left straight away. And I still don't know whether he fucking knew or not. I don't know if he knew. Like... He put on a good act that he didn't realise.
Well, he was a great actor, great character actor.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the great character actors, yeah. So that was a bit funny.
That's wild.
That's gold. Yeah. I think that's a...
It's the first time that the Gronk has turned up.
Well, hopefully it starts a trend.
No.
Hear me out.
A Gronk magnet.
Hear me out. Just start putting like people you really want to meet as the Gronk.
Well, I mean,
and then they start rocking up. It's like, oh, we tricked you.
We've been wanting to do Chet Faker for quite a long time.
No, you don't want him rocking up, but do it. Chuck him on.
Just wait until he slips up. He'll slip up sooner or later.
Who Chet Faker will?
Yeah. Gronk's revealed himself
pretty easily.
You know that was a conversation I actually had with the guys who book the bands and DJs for No Gronks.
Mm.
every week there's an email thread. We go, right, who's going to be this week's Gronk? You know, and sometimes it's really easy and sometimes it's a bit hard. And I said, oh, I remember the boys called out Chet Faker and just gave him shit because he is a Gronk. Let's make him the Gronk. And they went, oh, mate, we book a lot of bands and it's a bit close to home because it's music industry, you know?
Well, that's
true. Yeah, that's right. See, we're quite far away from it because we're not at all involved in the music industry. So, yeah, I guess I was a
smart. So he's never had a run as Gronk of the Week.
No, Gronk. Fair enough. And the Future Classic guys are a big fan of your pubs, so.
Yeah,
you want to keep exactly. You want to keep them happy. They're lovely guys. Oh, Future Classic's basically lovely, except for
him. Yeah, well. Except for Chet.
When is the meeting tree going to reform?
Oh, look, mate. I think we've said it before on this very podcast.
Mm. I mean, collectively we're all waiting with bated breath.
When
I say collectively, I mean about four of us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fuck, you four are very important. <for us. laughs> when every other avenue that we try to squeeze money out of in music has dried up, that's when the meeting tree will come back.
Yeah, nice.
So it might be next year.
It's the goal.
It might be next week.
It might be next week.
One Day Radio.
Comments left on social media pages, a regular segment and a fan favourite. Don't worry, we got one.
Would you believe? So, I put out a song recently.
Yes, you did. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everyone should definitely check it out, actually. It's a fantastic song, fantastic clip.
It's called Kings and Queens.
By Joyride.
By Joyride, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of it.
Good. And so you should be.
So you should be, mate.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I like, you know, I was intentionally trying to push away from things I've done before. I'm trying to explore new ground. But something that isn't really new ground is the fact that I use autotune.
Yeah.
I've used autotunes on songs from all through my career. Not every song. But I really fucking like the sound of it. And I know I can sing. But fuck, if a guitarist is allowed to use a distortion pedal, why can't I use autotune? Anyway. So, I got a comment on when I posted the video.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy that said, what's with the autotune, mate? I grew up listening to you and the whole One Day crew. The Grey Space era was 1,000 times better than this sound. Sorry for being so rough. Just a pissed off fan. You guys sold out and didn't even make it big for compromising your sound.
Oh.
Interesting, right? So he's assuming
that... So you're a sellout because you used autotune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so cut about it.
Yeah.
Right, he's just like, fuck.
What's his
you.
Name?
Sam Gare. And
shouts to Sam.
Yeah.
Firstly, like, mate, we do all right.
I think Sam could be fucking the Gronk of the Week next week.
Grey Space came out, what, 9 years ago?
Something like that.
8 years ago. It seems so crazy to me that you would just expect an artist to keep releasing.
Yeah, the same thing again and again and again.
It's like you're not allowed to grow.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck, what? Anyway, so I wrote back. I said, I put out a song in 2013 with Draft on it that had autotune. It's a song called Removalist featuring Draft. It was on my EP, Chivalrous, probably one of them. I don't know. Hope you like it, I said. And then he wrote back. So that first comment was on Tuesday, and I only saw it today. And he wrote back saying, fuck, I was in a bad mood when I wrote that comment. Sorry, mate. I just think your voice is amazing without it. I mean, well, whatever. I go, well, interesting place to let off some steam.
That's a bit passag.
Yeah, well, fuck him, right? Like, to which he said, well, to be honest, my opinion's still the same. I'm just sorry about the way I voiced it. And I said, opinions are
But so right at this point, he just can't believe he's having a real conversation with you.
Yeah.
So he's doing anything he can to keep that conversation going.
He's like, fuck, I can't believe that he read the comment I left on his Facebook.
Hey, Shaz, come here. You're all right. Fucking texted me back.
And so he said, well, to be honest, my opinion's still the same. I'm just sorry about the way I voiced it. And I said, opinions are like assholes. I prefer to write about mine in the letters section of the Herald. And he didn't write back. Come on, Sam, if you're listening. I might put some auto-tune on this bit just to fuck with him. Sam, if you're listening, write back, you little coward. And if you ever get upset, Just smoke some weed and don't go on Facebook. Twitter's a better place to be angry.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the One Day Podcast. And PC.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being part of One Day Radio.
Thanks for having me, boys.
And if people want to follow you...
One Day Radio.
If people want to follow you on the socials, where...
Mate, I'm trying to grow my followers. You know I'm going to pick that up. PC is here.
On
the Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. PC is here on the Instagram.
Follow the man. Yeah. At the moment...
I'm about 650.
And
nice.
Says,
yeah. That's not bad.
And while he's still sitting under 1,000, he keeps saying that his followers are a quality, not quantity. So let's give him some.
Mate, pound for pound, I smash you, mate.
Oh,
pound for pound.
All right, so we're going to leave it here. So, PC and I are going to go have a punch on in the back lane of the Hampshire. If you can get down here in the next 5 minutes.
That's some viral social media content. A bloke with 600 quality followers versus the 18,000 pieces of shit.
18.2 pieces of shit. I fucking hate the lot of you.
I was talking about the other one.
One Day Radio.